I've got one short verse to read to you tonight. And it's in Romans. And it's in Romans chapter 5. And it's Romans 5 verse 8. A very well known verse, I expect, to all hear. Romans 5 and verse 8. And it says, "But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ died for us." I want to read that verse again. "But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us." This is a very well-known gospel verse, dear friends. It's been used, I'm sure, many, many times in the gospel, but it's a tremendous verse. And it starts with God and his love. And that's where I want to start really tonight. Because God's love is the reason I can stand here tonight. God's love is the reason that I have a hope that one day I will see my Lord and Saviour face to face. God's love is the reason that the gospel can go out. And God's love is the reason that he sent his Son as a Saviour. That he sent his Son to die on a cross, to shed his precious blood for each and every person in this room tonight. Dear friend, God's love is something that you can trace all the way through the passages of Scripture. It's something that you can find right back in the first verse, the first book of the Bible, and it goes all the way through to the end. Dear friend, that's where I want to start tonight, with God's love. And it says God commends his love to us. God is still commending his love towards us tonight, dear friend. And there is an opportunity tonight to come into the blessing of his love. And it's a blessing that's open to each and every one of you here tonight. And dear friend, it says, "But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners." And sinners, dear friend, is a title that unfortunately we all come under. We're all under that same curse, dear friend. We all have that same issue inside of us of being a sinner. Sin is something that affects each and every person in this room, each and every person in this world tonight. Sin is something that came in. We were talking about it in the reading, going right back to the beginning of the Bible, to the basics. Sin came in the first book of the Bible. It says later on in verse 12 in this chapter, "For this cause, even as by one man, sin entered into the world, and by sin death." Dear friend, in the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned, and by that act, sin came into the world. And sin has, from that moment in time, affected each and every person. Dear friend, it's an all-encompassing curse. There is nobody that is exempt from that curse tonight. There is nobody that can say, "Oh no, I'm not a sinner. I have no sin in me." Dear friend, John, I think it is, says that if we say that we have no sin, we're lying. It's a very serious matter, dear friend, and it's the first step that you really need to take, that you have to admit that you're a sinner, that you're in need, that you have this problem inside of you. And dear friend, it's not a problem that you can solve. The question of sin doesn't have an answer that we can solve. There is nothing you can do. And you know, dear friend, many men and women tonight will be trying to do things in order to get rid of the guilt that they have inside of them in their own way. You know, people will do as much as they can. They'll give to charity. They'll help people. But dear friend, it absolutely matters. It doesn't affect in any way how getting rid of sin. There is nothing that you can do in any way that will affect the sin that is inside of you. The problem of sin is far too great for us to even consider being able to answer. But dear friend, it says that God commends his love to us, and that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. I said that on our side, sin doesn't have an answer. But dear friend, God in his love has provided an answer. God has provided a solution to this great problem that we can't solve. It's in his own way, on his own terms. In his own time, he's provided an answer. And that answer was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, it's amazing when you think of it, that God would provide an answer in this way. God would provide his own Son as an answer to the sin problem. But dear friend, that's what he did. That's how much God loves each and every person in this room tonight. That he would send his own Son. And dear friend, he did. We know the story well, that he came here as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. And he lived a perfect life. He was everything that man should have been. Everything that God had ever wanted from man was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. perfect in every way. The heavens could open on him and God could say, "This is my beloved son." He'd never been able to do that before. There was no other man. This was the one. This was the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. He was the only one in God's eyes that could do anything. He was the only man for God. And dear friends, he lived a perfect life here, and you can read about it in the Gospels. The amazing account of the Lord Jesus and his pathway here. But dear friend, it was a pathway. It wasn't just a random wandering. It was heading in one direction, and it was heading to the cross. And dear friend, that is where the kind of the crux of the whole gospel comes. It's the center point of the gospel, the cross. It's the center point of the whole Bible. The Old Testament looked towards it, and the whole of the New Testament looked back to it. The cross is the center point of the gospel. There the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross in the most horrendous way that man could possibly imagine. But dear friends, you know, we can kind of understand the physical sufferings, and they were horrendous. As I said, the worst possible death that man has probably ever devised. And yet, dear friends, that was not the worst part for the Lord Jesus. The worst part for the Lord Jesus was the 3 hours of darkness. And we know this, we've heard about this so many times before. But dear friend, it's affecting each and every time, or it should be affecting each and every time. When we think of this, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God's own Son, dying on a cross, and in 3 hours of complete darkness, he took upon him sin. God could no longer look on his Son. The communion was broken. You know, throughout his life here, the Lord Jesus was in constant communion with his God and Father. You read so many times how he took himself aside to pray. But dear friends, for 3 hours on this cross, that communion was broken. That relationship no longer was there. For 3 hours, when the Lord Jesus Christ took upon the sin and the sin problem, he became sin, the Bible says. A verse that I've yet to get my head round. In those 3 hours of darkness, dear friend, that was it. And at the end of that, the Lord Jesus could say, "It is finished." Probably the most amazing 3 words that you'll read in Scripture. "It is finished." That was it. All done. Never to be brought up again. And God could move out from his own side in love towards the sinner. Because God couldn't move out beforehand. There was not a righteous basis where God could move towards the sinner. Because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And different, God can't look upon sin. You know, it's a attribute of God that maybe is often forgotten, that God is a righteous God. We often read about God being a loving God, and that's true. God is love. And dear friend, you hear people say, "Oh, well, you know, how can God possibly send people to hell if he's a loving God? How can God possibly send people to eternal judgment if he's a loving God?" But hell is not a question about how much God loves you. It's a question about his righteousness. Because God's righteousness requires that sin goes and is punished and is condemned. That is God's requirement. You know, the holiness of God is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it's when we're sinners, we can't approach God in any way because of the sin that is inside of us. I was thinking of Isaiah and John when they looked upon Isaiah, especially in Isaiah 6, when he said that he saw the Lord. You know, he said, "Woe is me." And, you know, it was he couldn't stand being in the presence of God because he was aware of his sin. He was aware of how sinful he was. And, you know, we can't approach God from our side in our sins. God can't approach us from his side when we're like in our sinful state. But because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God had a righteous way to come out to us. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's almost too much to get your head around that God, who is such a holy God, can come out towards a sinner tonight. We don't really understand how abhorrent sin is to God. And yet you can look at the work of the Lord Jesus and think how perfect and how complete it was that it allowed God to come out from his own side. And dear friend, that's it. That's what happened. As I said, those 3 hours of darkness, the sin question was completely dealt with. The Lord Jesus became sin and he said, "It is finished." And then, dear friend, he died. He died on that cross and he really died. And yet, dear friend, the story, as we know and we've heard so many times, did not end there. Because, dear friend, after he shed his precious blood and he died on that cross, 3 days later he rose again. He rose again from the tomb. And again, you can read about that in the Gospels. There was men and women went to see the tomb and they didn't believe it at first. They didn't know what had happened. But the Lord Jesus was raised back to life. God was satisfied in the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus presented to him. You know, you can read about the sacrifices in the Old Testament. The priests that would stand in the temple year by year, sacrificing the animals to atone for the sins of the children of Israel. They had to do it every year because it could just cover the sin. But dear friend, the Lord Jesus was able to completely remove the question of sin. Once in the consummation of the ages. It was done and it was dusted in those 3 hours. That was it, never to be brought up again. God could come out in righteousness towards the sinner. So the Lord Jesus raised, God is satisfied. And now, dear friend, it comes down to you. Because what are you going to do with this? Because you can just read this, you can read the passages in the Gospel, you can read Romans, you can read the Bible, and you can think, oh, it's a great story. It's a great, you know, the Lord Jesus was a great person. But dear friend, tonight you've got to make it your own. Tonight you've got to make it personal. Tonight it's about you and God. Don't worry about anybody else in the room tonight, dear friend. It's about you and God. There is nobody else that can possibly save you from your sins. There's nobody else that can do it on your behalf. It's got to be between you and God. You know, the Jews, or rather the Pharisees, in the time of the Lord Jesus, assumed that because they were of the genealogy of Abraham, that that sort of afforded them some great privileges. And dear friends, it's the same tonight. Just because you come to church, just because you come to the meeting, just because you read your Bible, doesn't afford you some great privilege in the eyes of God. It's about whether you accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. There is nobody that can, you know, I'm sure your parents would love to do everything they could to save you, but they can't. It's all about the Lord Jesus and his work and what he's done. There is nobody else. There is no other name. Dear friend, it's, as I said, it comes down to you and God tonight. And dear friend, it comes down to you and God tonight because tomorrow there might not be an opportunity. Tonight is the night, dear friend. It's time for you to come to God in all your sins, in everything that you are, and say, I accept the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, there's no other way. You've got to do it. There is no other option. There is no other choice. There is no other possible way that you can go about it but the way that God has set up. Amen. And that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, it's got to be done tonight because there is an urgency about this message. You know, you might think, oh, well, this people have stood behind this table here week on week. But dear friend, one day there will be no preacher here. One day the door will be locked. Because, dear friend, there is a time coming when this day of grace will end. Dear friend, take the opportunity tonight. Amen. To accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You may never get another opportunity. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is on the same level. As I said, everybody's a sinner. Everybody comes in at the same base level. And dear friend, everybody can have the same Saviour. The blood of Jesus Christ is available for all. And it's suitable for all. There is nobody that is too bad. There is nobody that is too good. It's available for all. It's available for you tonight, dear friend. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight because there's no other man and there's no other way. You'll never regret it, dear friend. You can talk to any Christian you like, whether they've been a Christian for a year, 10 years, 20 years. You can ask them, have you ever regretted becoming a Christian? And they will definitely say no. There is no, you know, when you become a Christian, everything changes. God changes you. You become a new person. Everything that you were before is completely dealt with and you become a new person, a new creation. Dear friend, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everything that was before, you know, maybe you were, before you were, might have been into all sorts of things. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you're able to overcome things when you're a Christian. You have this help inside of you. Dear friend, it's a tremendous thing being a Christian. As we said in the reading, it's not an easy path. You know, and I'm sure many people in this room will say that it's definitely got harder. But you have a help. You're not left here by yourself. It's a tremendous thing to come to, dear friend. But you've got to come to it yourself. There is no other way. You've got to come to it yourself. As I said, it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing between you and God. And you need to do it tonight. And I pray that everybody in this room we'll make that, we'll take the opportunity tonight to make the Lord Jesus Christ our own personal Saviour. For his name's sake.